Sophie carefully pulled the chain from the drawer. To her surprise, on the end was a brilliant gold key. Spellbound, she held it up. It looked like no key she had ever seen. Most keys were flat with jagged teeth, but this one had a triangular column with little pockmarks all over it. Its large golden head was in the shape of a cross, but not a normal cross. This was an even-armed one, like a plus sign. Embossed in the middle of the cross was a strange symbol, two letters intertwined, with some kind of flowery design.
P.S.,
she whispered.
Sophie?
Her grandfather spoke from the doorway. Startled, she spun, dropping the key on the floor.
I was looking for my birthday present,
she said, hanging her head. Her grandfather stood silently in the doorway. Finally, he let out a long, troubled breath.
Pick up the key, Sophie.
Sophie retrieved the key. Her grandfather walked in. Gently, he knelt down and took the key from her.
This key is very special. If you had lost it...
Her grandfather's quiet voice made Sophie feel even worse.
I'm sorry, Grandpère. I really am.
She paused.
I thought it was a necklace for my birthday.
Sophie knew she shouldn't ask, but she couldn't help it.
What does it open? I never saw a key like that. It was very pretty.
Her grandfather was silent a long moment, and Sophie could see he was uncertain how to answer.
Grandpère never lies.
It opens a box, he finally said, where I keep many secrets.
Sophie pouted.
I hate secrets.
I know, but these are important secrets, and someday you'll learn to appreciate them as much as I do.
I saw letters on the key, and a flower.
Yes, that's my favorite flower. It's called a fleur-de-lis. In English, we call that kind of flower an iris.
I know those. They're my favorite, too.
Then I'll make a deal with you. If you can keep my key a secret and never talk about it ever again to me or anybody, then someday I will give it to you.
Sophie couldn't believe her ears.
You will?
I promise. When the time comes, the key will be yours. It has your name on it.
Sophie scowled.
No, it doesn't. It said P.S. My name isn't P.S.
Her grandfather lowered his voice.
Okay, Sophie. If you must know, P.S. is a code. It's your secret initials.
Her eyes went wide.
I have secret initials?
Of course. Granddaughters always have secret initials that only their grandfathers know.
P.S.?
He tickled her.
Princess Sophie.
She giggled.
I'm not a princess.
He winked.
You are to me.
From that day on, they never again spoke of the key. And she became his Princess Sophie.
The initials, Langdon whispered, eyeing her strangely. Have you seen them?
Sophie nodded.
Yes. I saw the initials P.S. once, when I was very young.
Where?
Sophie hesitated.
On something very important to him.
Sophie, this is crucial. Can you tell me if the initials appeared with a symbol, a fleur-de-lis?
Sophie felt herself staggering backward in amazement.
But how could you possibly know that?
Langdon exhaled and lowered his voice.
I'm fairly certain your grandfather was a member of a secret society, a very old covert brotherhood.
Sophie felt a knot tighten in her stomach. She was certain of it, too. For 10 years, she had tried to forget the incident that had confirmed that horrifying fact for her.
The fleur-de-lis, Langdon said, combined with the initials P.S. That is the Brotherhood's coat of arms, their logo.
How do you know this?
I've written about this group, he said. They call themselves the Priory of Sion. They're based here in France and attract powerful members from all over Europe. In fact, they're one of the oldest surviving secret societies on Earth.
Sophie had never heard of them. Langdon was talking in rapid bursts now.
The Priory's membership has included some of history's most cultured individuals, men like Botticelli, Sir Isaac Newton, Victor Hugo, and Leonardo da Vinci.
Sophie stared at him in surprise.
Da Vinci was in a secret society? Da Vinci presided over the priory between 1510 and 1519 as the Brotherhood's Grand Master, which might help explain your grandfather's passion for Leonardo's work. The two men share a historical fraternal bond, and it all fits perfectly with their fascination for goddess iconology, paganism, feminine deities, and contempt for the church.
You're telling me this group is a pagan goddess worship cult?
More like the pagan goddess worship cult. But more importantly, they are known as the guardians of an ancient secret, one that made them immeasurably powerful. The identities of living priory members are kept extremely secret, but the PS and fleur-de-lis that you saw as a child are proof. Sophie realized now that Langdon knew far more about her grandfather than she had previously imagined. This American obviously had volumes to share with her, but this was not the place.
I can't afford to let them catch you, Robert. There's a lot we need to discuss. You need to go.
A couple of miles away, on the riverbank beyond Les Invalides, the bewildered driver of a twin-bed Trelor truck stood at gunpoint and watched as the captain of the judicial police let out a guttural roar of rage and heaved a bar of soap out into the turgid waters of the Seine. Silas gazed upwards at the Saint-Sulpice obelisk. He glanced around the church one more time to make sure he was alone. Then he knelt at the base of the structure, not out of reverence, but out of necessity.
The keystone is hidden beneath the rose line, at the base of the Sulpice obelisk.
On his knees now, Silas ran his hands across the stone floor. He began rapping softly with his knuckles on the tiles. Following the brass line closer to the obelisk, he knocked on each tile adjacent to the brass line. Finally, one of them echoed strangely.
There's a hollow area beneath the floor.
Silas smiled. His victims had spoken the truth. Standing, he searched the sanctuary for something with which to break the floor tile. High above Silas in the balcony, Sister Billet stifled a gasp. Her darkest fears had just been confirmed. This visitor was not who he seemed. The mysterious Opus Dei monk had come to Saint-Sulpice for another purpose, a secret purpose.
You are not the only one with secrets, she thought.
Sister Billet was more than the keeper of this church. She was a sentry, and tonight the ancient wheels had been set in motion. The arrival of this stranger at the base of the obelisk was a signal from the Brotherhood. It was a silent call of distress.